Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back up and running with you today on this Getaway Friday, March the 26th, 2021. 15 minutes past the hour, last Friday in the month of March. Next Friday will be April 2nd. That's hard to believe. Next weekend is Easter weekend. Can you believe that? Now, so next Friday will be Good Friday. Isn't that right? Yeah, next Friday would be Good Friday, the Friday before Easter. Now, we have to start off this morning. Well, first of all, I do want to let you know, again, we have many big announcements that are pretty well solidified at this point, but we're not going to make those announcements for about 10 more days, but you'll be aware of them in the next 10 days. We've been talking about them for about the last month now, and then we got down to 15 days, and now I think we're around the 10-day point, but a lot of big changes, a lot of very interesting stuff going on, so we're all excited about that, so just stay tuned to this station, and those announcements will come within the next 10 days, and I think everybody will be pleased and excited with those. Now, let's start off this morning talking about the wind last night. Holy moly. You know, we have rainstorms here, and we have windstorms here, and we have snowstorms here, and we have all this sort of thing. But last night's windstorm, first of all, it's interesting because the meteorologists got together, I think, yesterday and decided to panic everybody and said there was going to be 60-mile-an-hour wind and this was going to be terrible and very dangerous. Now, maybe it was. I don't know, and that's why I'm going to go to you, the listening audience, at this point, because here was my experience with the whole thing. As you know, I go out and walk and or run, depending on the weather, a mile every night. And last night, I went out, well, it had to be after 8 o'clock. So I'm going to say last night I went out sometime around 8:30. And there was no wind at all. And I thought, well, this is kind of strange that it's not very windy at all. I went out, went around the block, no rain, no wind, nothing. It was kind of calm, as a matter of fact. So I got back home probably around 9:15. And stayed up last night till 11:30, and as I was getting ready to go to bed, I noticed it had started to rain a little bit because I could hear the rain outside as I was falling asleep, which is, you know, every time I hear it rain when I'm about to fall asleep, or rain at night in general, I always think of Eddie Rabbit. I love the rainy night, or I love a rainy night. One or the other. So I know it started to rain last night somewhere around 11 o'clock. But it was not windy or anything of that nature. Now, I woke up, I'm going to say, somewhere around 3:30. And I could hear the wind whistling. I don't know if it was around the house or just whistling through the window. And I could hear it, but I could hear the whistle of the wind. That's that'd be a good title for a song, wouldn't it? The whistle of the wind. I could hear the whistle of the wind. So I could hear this whistle, and it went on all night long. A matter of fact, it went on as I was getting ready to come here this morning. So I thought, when I go outside, it's going to be a mess, that trees are going to be down, and electric's going to be out in certain places, and lawn furniture's going to be tipped over, and all this sort of thing that you usually get with a big windstorm. And I looked out on my back patio, and my lawn furniture was still there. It had not gone anywhere. And out front, my lawn furniture was still there. It had not gone anywhere. I did not see any down trees coming down Center Street this morning, or Route 95, or Marion Mount Gilead Road, whichever you want to call it. So, and it also was not very windy outside, because I did stop this morning and get something to drink, and I also stopped at the bank this morning, and I had my window down, And it was not windy. It was not, you know, that wind that blows you around. The car was not all over the road. So I don't really know if a big windstorm happened or not. I know that the wind was whistling. Now, I don't know what caused that. I'm sure the wind was gusting at a decent rate, but was anybody up in the middle of the night last night when this all was going on? Or has your lawn furniture been blown away? Or have trees been blown down? Or has your electric been interrupted sometime in the last 12 hours? Does anybody have any reports from the big windstorm that allegedly was supposed to have happened last night? I don't know. Maybe I'm just in an area, or was in an area this morning driving around, where that did not happen. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We're looking for reports from the big wind storm last night. And did anybody else notice that it really was not windy or anything of that nature any time before 9 o'clock? Or really 10 o'clock that I'm aware of. I didn't see or hear anything before that time. Now, I did see a model yesterday when the meteorologists were on predicting this, that I think it was all supposed to start at 10 o'clock last night, that it was supposed to go 10 to 10, 10 p.m. till 10 a.m. this morning. Well, we're still about an hour and a half away from 10 a.m., so I don't know. I don't know if it was bad in other areas. I don't know if it came late. I really don't know what happened last night. But I did not see the damage that you would normally see after a very big windstorm in town this morning. I just did not see it. Now, is anybody seeing anything out there this morning unusual? Give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Any reports on the windstorm from last night? I didn't see anything. So, give me a call if you have anything to say about that. Now, we do have some announcements to make, community announcements here. The Mid-Ohio Food Bank is having an upcoming giveaway this Saturday at 9 a.m. Parking lot opens at 8 a.m. No appointment necessary. Bring your ID. One proxy allowed per household. This will be at the Richland Road Church of Christ, 535 Richland Road here in Marion. The telephone number, 740-389-1017. Don't forget that, the Mid-Ohio Food Bank giveaway this Saturday at 9 a.m. Parking lot opens at 8 a.m. No appointment necessary. Bring your ID. One proxy allowed per household. The Richland Road Church of Christ, 535 Richland Road here in Marion. And again, if you have any questions about this, you can call 740-389-1017. Now, just for future reference, the Mid-Ohio Food Bank upcoming 2021 giveaway dates will be March 27th, April 24th, May the 29th, June the 19th, July the 31st, August the 28th, September the 18th, October the 30th, December the 20th, November the 20th, and December the 18th. Again, these will all be at the Richland Road Church of Christ, 535 Richland Road, right here in Marion. And there are always questions. Call them, 740-389-1017. They serve up to 200 families. It's on a first-come, first-served basis. There's a mix of meat, fresh produce, canned and box items, and breads and desserts. But remember, it is first come, first serve, first 200 families, and there will be one tomorrow, March the 27th, starting at 9 a.m. But you can show up in the parking lot at 8 a.m. at the Richland Road Church of Christ. Now, overnight, well, I don't know if this was overnight, but sometime yesterday, we got a flyer, I guess it would be, under the door here with a note. And I'm not going to say the name of the person who wrote the note, but I'm going to read the note and then I'm going to read the flyer and we'll kind of go from there. It says, hello, I am a student at OSUM studying social work. My group is trying to spread awareness to law enforcement officials and those that may be developmentally delayed. We are hosting a free drive-through and handing out pamphlets. Free candy. Wanted to see if this could be aired anytime. Okay, so here it goes. This was the note that was slipped under the door. Free Safety Safari, April 10th, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Marion County Board of Developmental Disabilities, 2387 Harding Highway East, here in Marion. All are welcome. Come out to your local MCBDD and interact with the different members of the community that keep us safe. There will be police officers, firefighters, and other safety personnel along with their vehicles that they drive. This is a community event to help break down the barrier between the public and law enforcement with an emphasis on the DD community. Developmentally delayed is what that stands for, DD. All COVID-19 safety protocol will be adhered to, depending on which part of the country you're in. So that's the big event, Free Safety Safari, April the 10th, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Marion County Board of Developmental Disabilities, 2387 Harding Highway East. All are welcome. And I guess this is to bridge the gap between law enforcement and the community. And when we had Police Chief Jay McDonald on a few weeks ago, I guess he sort of talked about there being a gap between law enforcement and the community. I don't know. I guess that exists. I guess they would know. But I wonder why that exists. I wonder why there is a bit of a hesitancy between the community and local law enforcement. I don't know what would cause that. I mean, most people who are in trouble call the local law enforcement, I would think, if they're in medical trouble or have a fire or are having some kind of crime committed. So I don't know what the distance is, to be honest with you, but hopefully an event like this will straighten it all out, because you want people to get along. Under everything, I think that's what you want. A community that gets along is going to be a successful community. There's no doubt about it. And if we can't get along, then we're going to have trouble. Well, apparently the windstorm last night was no more worry for anybody in the county than it was for me, because we're not getting any reports this morning about the big windstorm last night. It whistled all night, but it doesn't look like it did much damage. At least nobody is reporting that at this particular point. Now, I won't say there's no damage, but we haven't heard anything. Usually, when we have a snowstorm, a rainstorm, or anything of that nature, we get some kind of call here in the morning about somebody saying something had happened. But at this point, no calls so far. Doesn't sound like anybody's worried about anything, so maybe we made it out of the episode last night unscathed. But if you do have a report on it, give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 28 and a half minutes past the hour. Now, yesterday morning, and I don't want to harp too much on this morning, because we have done this a lot. We've talked about this a lot this week. So we'll wrap it up today talking about it, but we'll spend a little time on it here. Downtown. Yesterday, we were trying to figure out what the dividing lines were for downtown. What is downtown Marion considered to be? And we had a lady call in yesterday who I think is on a committee that is dealing with downtown. And we learned that the actual perimeters for downtown, I think, now if I say this wrong, somebody correct me, because I did not write it down yesterday. But downtown goes to where Rocky Cyclery is. So that is the east end of downtown. The west end goes quite a ways out. I think Canterbury Court was the west boundary of downtown. The north boundary of downtown are the tracks, you know, the double set of tracks right there on Main Street. That's the north boundary of downtown. And then the south boundary of downtown, you know, for some reason, I can't remember what we said the south boundary of downtown was. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the south boundary was Church Street, is what was said. So that is actually what is considered to be downtown Marion. Now, also, apparently, what we learned yesterday was that uptown and downtown are the same thing. Now, I would not think that that would be the case. You would think if I'm going to go uptown, that I would be going in the opposite direction of downtown. But I'm not sure what uptown would be considered to be in Marion. I don't know. And you know, these little areas like where the Union Halls are or used to be, I don't even know if they're in use anymore. The Legions, I think, are still in use. The Elks, places like that where those groups met, the Cadet Hall. I don't know what that's all considered. I guess that would be outside of downtown. But, hey, that's the way it goes. Go ahead, caller.
I think they said Columbia Street to the south, the double set of tracks to the north, Canby Court on the west, and Vine Street on the east.
Now, what did I say? Canterbury Court?
Yeah.
Canby Court.
I don't know where that is.
Yeah, I don't know where that is either. I don't make it over to the West End very often. Canby Court. So, Vine Street. Yeah, so right there by Rockies, Vine Street, yeah. to the west. So the south boundary is...
Columbia Street.
Columbia Street.
Ford Funeral Home. So it's right on Columbia there.
Oh, so it does go down a little further than Church Street.
Yeah, that would be the southern boundary.
Now, do you buy that as being downtown?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's about where the business is starting in.
Yeah, I think so. But really, to the north end, for it to cut off at the tracks there on Main Street, there's a whole lot of businesses on the other side of that tracks, even before you get to North Main.
Well, that's basically downtown, though.
Right, but I'm just saying, you know, there are a lot of businesses like Johnson Supply, and I think there was a bar there. Faye Bank is on the other side of those tracks. The Faye Bank drive-through is on the other side of those tracks. The St. Vincent de Paul. There are a lot of businesses there.
Oh, no, Faye Bank is this side of the tracks.
Well, the building is, but where's the drive-through at? Because it's not attached to the building anymore.
Well, no, it's before the tracks, though.
Is it? I don't know. Last time I was over there...
Yeah, it's before the tracks. Yeah, because the Huber Street runs alongside the tracks.
Okay, so it's still on this side of the... So it's the last thing on this side of the tracks.
Well, the building on Huber Street's the last thing. Whitey's Tavern or something like that.
Well, what's the building that's right beside the tracks on the other side?
A little barber shop.
Oh, is it still in business?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it is? Okay, so Whitey's and the Faye Bank drive-thru are the last thing that would be considered downtown, to the north.
Right.
Well, see, but all those other businesses, like Johnson Supply is on the other side, so that would not be downtown.
No.
Well, that's interesting. Now, so the question is, which has been a long-term question here, just a mile up the road then from downtown, why is North Main Street, just a mile, not even maybe a mile, full of car lots and fast food places, national fast food places, restaurants, and so on and so forth, that do well? Why is that area less than a mile from downtown such a hotbed and downtown not?
Well, everything moved out of downtown. It all went northeast, south, and west.
Well, yeah, but I guess what I'm saying is, you know, the east side of town, I understand. because the 23 off ramp is out there, and I think that's what drove the business out there. But right. There's no off ramp on North Main Street. So why is North Main Street such a hotbed, less than a mile from the downtown border?
That's a good question. Good question.
I don't understand that. See, because I've always said, and people say this is not the issue, I always said if you put a McDonald's, or you put a Rally's, or you put a Taco Bell, or you put a Dairy Queen, these national chains, if you put just one of those in downtown, you are going to have traffic increase downtown because people like those restaurants. But downtown, they say, well, downtown wouldn't allow it. There wouldn't be enough room for the traffic, blah, 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 blah. But yet, less than a mile from downtown, all four of them sit right there across from each other.
Have you ever been to Mount Vernon?
Yeah. Matter of fact, I was there just at the Kroger a few weeks ago. Oh, that's Mount Gilead, not Mount Vernon.
No, Mount Vernon.
Yeah, I have been to Mount Vernon, though, yes.
They have a downtown, but there's more businesses around the downtown than there is the downtown. Because that one part of the downtown is one way. And it's kind of cuts things off. And it's screwy.
Well, it's just strange to me because, you know, I understand that the mall, or let's say Delaware Avenue. I understand that Delaware Avenue and downtown's complaint is that all the businesses went out east and it's just being driven by that 23 off-ramp. And yeah, that's true to a certain extent, but why is North Main Street so successful? I can't think of any other part of this town, east, west, north, or south, where there is really no off-ramp, no interstate that goes through it, that is doing that well, that stretch of North Main from the tracks to Williamsport Road. That's a very busy commerce area.
They're all state highways, I guess, is probably the best explanation. A lot of truck traffic and what have you.
Yeah, but downtown's part of that, too, and they don't have any of it.
Well, the biggest problem with downtown is all the buildings got older and nobody was doing anything with them.
So right, but on North Main, they were willing to
raise the rent and not improve the building, so people moved out.
Right, but is that still the case down here? Because, I mean, Taco Bell was built on Main Street within the last, I mean, it's been 10 years.
Yeah. Probably cheaper property up there for one thing.
Well, that's it. So here's the question, because people always say this about the mall. Why is at this point, when you've got no business, or very few, why would you keep the rents high?
I don't know. Didn't the mall just sell again recently?
You know, I don't know. I have not set foot in the mall since 2017. Now, that's not on purpose. I just have never had to go in there for anything. But the truth of the matter is somebody told me recently, and this is just what I heard, that the only stores still in the mall are the nail salon, Bath and Body Works, and was there any other one? I know Bath and Body Works, the nail salon. And I think that's it. Now, Joann Fabrics and Dollar Tree are still out there, but I guess you can't even enter those from inside the mall anymore.
Right.
So, I mean...
It just amazes me that... I think somebody bought the mall, because they bought this one, they bought a couple others at the same time, and I don't know what you're going to do with them. Maybe they're going to make apartments out of them or something. Something to make money with.
Well, I don't know. You know, I don't know. Joann Fabrics and Dollar Tree have obviously stayed for a reason. Now they have outside entrances, so maybe they have no reason to go anywhere. But the rest of the mall apparently is in pretty dire straits.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Which, that's sad.
The other day you got to talking about the rock signs, you know, 95 and 309.
Yeah.
If you came in the Marion, you've got signs that it doesn't say it is 309. It has arrows directing you to 309. And you see that a lot, like you go through Upper Sandusky, and you have business 30 up there, which is 430. but it's 30 going through and then it connects on the other side. So that's, it is actually, coming through Marion is 309, but not defined as because it's Center Street, because it's local.
And also Harding Highway.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's another thing. If you you look at the Route 30 going through Mansfield and Ontario, that's the Lincoln Highway. And that stretches clear out into Illinois.
Well, see, I just don't know how a road, I guess it's an interstate, maybe that's the logic behind it, a road can have a name but also be an interstate.
Well, the 30 has been the Lincoln Highway for as long as I've been alive.
Well, I just think it gets confusing.
That's before it ever became an interstate. Because it used to be, if you're going out to Indiana and Illinois, it would be two lanes, three lanes, two lanes, three lanes. It had turn lanes going across. That was years ago, and now it's all interstate. So.
I just think it becomes difficult. That's where this whole conversation started, because we would like to see people come downtown, but we know out-of-towners are going to come in on Route 23, so they're either going to have to come down 95, or they're going to have to come down 309. That's going to be the easiest way to get downtown. But the problem is that if you would pay attention to a GPS or whatever you might have, both of those roads have several names. You know, 309 is 309, Harding Highway, Center East, and Center West. Now, 95 is 95, Mount Vernon Avenue, Marion, mm-hmm. Mount Gilead Road.
Yep.
So I think it would be difficult to explain to somebody how since the liquor store moved out to the Kroger, Delaware Avenue, just to explain to somebody, because they all come to 95 expecting to see the liquor store because the 5-0 used to be out there, or still is there, but it used to be the liquor store. So you try to tell people how to get to the new liquor store. Now, these people, I assume, have GPSs, but you try to explain it to them, and it's very difficult because you've got to get them down 95, and then they have to understand what the boulevard is, and then you try to give them a landmark, like the Harding Memorial, to turn onto Delaware Avenue, and they always get lost. They always get confused. And
they'll follow the road signs from 423.
Well, it is on 423, but, you know, do they know where 423 is if they've just gotten off of 23? See, I think that's confusing to an out-of-towner.
Well, 423 is the inner belt, basically.
Right.
Just like you go to Columbus, you get the outer belt and you get the inner belt.
Well, I think it's just strange that our inner belt really is not connected to the entire city. Now, if you could catch it from any part in the city, I think that would be easier. But really, you can only catch it in the north and the south.
Be glad you didn't live back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, because your direction then was Joe Blow's barn and turn left, and get on to the hog farm and turn right.
Well, that's true. But you know, and it's not even... We haven't even talked about the roundabouts that went up I guess it's not considered downtown, but these roundabouts that have went up on Church Street and Center Street and places like that, and you think, my goodness, how would you explain that to somebody?
Follow the signs.
Well, yeah. But you know
we have good signage in Marion.
Yeah, we have. Yeah. I don't think the signage is bad.
We have great signage.
And well, I'll tell you, though.
I was going down the boulevard yesterday, and a new sign just went up that has been that way for a long time, but nobody really knew it. There's no trucks on the boulevard.
Well, I'll tell you, no trucks on the boulevard?
Nope.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you, we do have one of the most interesting signs in Marion, and that's on Center Street right there at Papa John's, where the merge sign is written on the road.
Yeah.
Now, I don't really understand that, because if the road is covered with snow or ice or even if a car in front of you, if the traffic's wall to wall, you're never going to see that merge sign.
Right.
I don't understand that. I don't know why they don't put a merge sign up there.
I don't know.
We'll see. Well, hey, thanks for calling. Phone lines are open. Do you have anything to say about that? That was a in-depth conversation about issues in Marion. But this is where we all live, and this is community radio, so you want to address these issues. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. 45 minutes past the hour here. The trials and tribulations of Marion, Ohio. Go ahead, caller.
Where is there a roundabout on Church Street?
When you go down Church, it's down there just beyond the library.
Beyond the library.
Yeah, it's right there by the library.
That's not a roundabout.
Well, I guess it's just a mess. There's a mess there.
Well, it's an island there that diverts traffic to either get on to Center Street or go straight on Church Street. Yeah, roundabouts, my good fellow, you haven't been to Columbus lately.
No, I was at the Hilliard roundabouts last weekend.
I just
figured Marion didn't have the money to finish the roundabout.
That's a triangle. You know, also, uptown, downtown, Marion doesn't have an uptown.
No, wait a second. What do you call that thing? If it's not a roundabout, what is it?
That's an island that diverges traffic or funnels traffic to a various, you know.
Well, it's got
to
have a name.
I call it an island. Why don't you call the city engineer?
Well, I'm sure they're probably not in. It's Friday.
They might be until noon, if they're still working on noons.
I'm just saying, we know about that in Marion, because we live here. But if you have went downtown for dinner, and you're an out-of-towner, and you're trying to get back to 23, or maybe you're trying to get back to 309, that's very confusing. Because if you go straight, you now are on a two-way part of Church Street, which heretofore was not two-way. And if you go down it, at the end of it, you either go left and you end up on a one-way part of Center Street, or you end up on a two-way if you go to the right. That is the most confusing thing for an out-of-towner to try to figure out in the course of about 5 seconds that you're on it.
Well, those people, they certainly, would not have made it over the Appalachian Mountains, let alone the Mississippi River, back in the old pioneering days.
Well, I just think most businesses that rely on community support, that rely on patrons, access is very important. The more access you have to people and traffic, the better off you're going to be.
Maybe.
Well, I think every business on 95 would tell you that they move out there because there's just more traffic. And the mall would tell you there is no traffic.
Well, the reason 95 Mount Vernon Avenue, which becomes 95, once you get out of city limits, I would imagine, once you exit the city limits, it now becomes Route 95.
Oh, no, we got a ruling on that. That's not right. See, that's what I thought. But the rule, no, it's Mount Vernon Avenue from Vine Street to the city limits. It's from Vine Street to Perkins is Mount Vernon Avenue. Then from Perkins to Pole Lane Road is Marion Mount Gilead Road. Then from Pole Lane Road on is 95.
Well, that road that has many different names depending upon which part you travel. At any rate, that's all due because of the bypass, the 23 bypass. Good heavens, I learned that in geography in high school. You have concentric ring theories and all of that kind of stuff, and then where there's rivers or major highways and stuff, that's where cities tend to grow or pulls business and industry because of those access roads. But anyways, we don't have a downtown Marion anymore, or an uptown. You don't recall it being renamed the Cultural Corridor?
I thought it was a double meaning. I thought the culture, I don't think the, I think the Cultural Corridor, I just thought that was, you know, another name. Like a nickname. Like a nickname.
Well, no, it's a cultural corridor, you know. Well, what's uptown, downtown?
Well, that's what I don't understand. I know what downtown is, but I don't know what uptown is. But I hear people say they're going uptown.
You could make the argument, if you're on West Center Street, down by the old power shovel,
mm-hmm.
and you walked east on Center Street, you'd be going uptown. That's quite a hill, and that part of town is up the hill.
So is that what it refers to?
I have no idea.
No, I don't know. I mean, does anybody know what up? Where is an uptown? I mean, forget Marion. Where in Ohio would you where's uptown Columbus?
It's east of the hilltop.
See, there you go. But I these are just things that I think people say that they never really know. We don't know. How many times have you heard somebody say, "I'm going uptown"? They say that all the time. Where's uptown?
But if you're in New York, there you ask a cabbie, "I want to go uptown. I want to go downtown." So the next time you go to New York to see Phil Donahue, you need to get clarification on that.
Well, I think in New York, uptown is probably considered more of like the Battery Park area, and where the Trade Center used to be, and downtown is probably where the Theater District is.
What the hell did they call that? That's South Manhattan, where Battery Park is, and where the Trade Towers used to be.
Yeah, and the Tip. They call it the Tip.
The Tip?
Yeah. When I was there a few years ago, they called that the Tip. When you wanted to get on the subway, because you got to take the subway down there, unless you want to pay for a cab. But they called it the Tip, the Southern Tip.
And then what do they call the crossroads of the world? Times Square.
Times Square?
Is that uptown or is that, no, that might be midtown. So you got uptown, downtown, and midtown.
Well, where's midtown?
In the middle.
Right. The middle of what? That's exactly right.
The middle of Manhattan.
Right, but so other towns don't have middles?
Other towns don't have... What's that got to do with Manhattan?
Well, no, I'm just saying Manhattan has a midtown. Is that the only midtown that exists in the United States?
Do you realize that?
I've just never heard, outside of Midtown
Manhattan.
Are you off
your medication?
No, this all started because there is a question of why North Main Street, which is less than a mile from what we define as downtown, is doing so well, commercially.
What do you consider doing so well?
Well, I don't know the last time any of those businesses went out. In the stretch of a mile there, you've got Stewart's.
Well, there aren't that many businesses there.
Oh, I think there are. For that two-lane
street.
The
majority of them are restaurants.
But they're commercial restaurants. There's no other...
They're franchise restaurants.
Right. There are more franchise restaurants on North Main Street now than there are on Delaware Avenue.
Maybe. But you got to realize, look at the demographics, Scott. That whole area. Why is there a Center Street Market? Wasn't there a food disparity or whatever they call it? Those poor folks, particularly, and it's kind of strange, they have more fast food up there simply because you've got McDonald's, which has been there since the 60s, and then everybody else, well, gee whiz. The idea is, okay, here's McDonald's. It's a magnet. They're pulling from the north end. People have to get to McDonald's, so why not pass my restaurant alternative? So they build the cluster up there. There's nothing else up there. There aren't any grocery stores anymore.
No, but
it's
there's
like the
a
folks that are over.
No,
like
but there's
the
a
folks that are over on the west end of town, Colonial Acres, and that they have to either go all the way down to Kroger there on 423, or clear out on 95 or Marion Mount Gilead Road, whatever you want to.
Right, but here's the problem with that theory that I don't understand. Kroger South is very busy. It's right across the street from the Magnet McDonald's. That has not been able to pull any other businesses to that area. A matter of fact, it's done just the opposite in the last 10 years.
Well, you
the
can't
mall has
a,
emptied
you can't
out.
Compare a grocery store with a fast food retailer.
Okay, well, the same fast food retailer that you said was drawing the business to Main Street, McDonald's, is right there on Delaware Avenue. Same business, same things on the menu. And there are its businesses have left that area near McDonald's. On Main Street,
the population density isn't what it is on where McDonald's at the mall is compared to what it is up on North Main Street. There are more people live up there.
Right, but if you're going to Kroger, and that parking lot is busy all the time, and that's one of the busiest Krogers in Central Ohio, the one on Delaware Avenue, right across the street from McDonald's. There is not a successful business, maybe except McDonald's, anywhere near that. Maybe House of Hunan. Where are the other businesses? Because it's certainly pulling traffic, and it's got to be pulling traffic from somewhere.
Speedway's a business.
Okay.
Look how busy they are.
Right, and the gas station's busy out there, but why is there no rallies? Why is there no Victor's Tacos doing well? Why is there no Carnivelli's? Why is there no Dairy Queen? Why is there no businesses like that? Why they leave, a matter
because
of fact, Pizza Hut.
They're franchise operations, and these days to get a franchise operation is obscenely expensive, and the mass studies that they do. You need to get the regional planning in.
I don't know about regional planning. They do studies, and then they go in a file cabinet downtown, and
pretty much so, yeah. But, you know, the major reason, the downfall of the mall, the understanding I have, somebody bought that mall really dirt cheap, and it's essentially a tax write-off. Raise the rents just to keep people there so you can say you have a depressed property and you're losing money. That's all that is a major tax write-off for some wealthy idiot.
Well, I don't know. When we were there, which hasn't been that long ago, 14 through 17, they had a woman there who her whole job was to get people in the mall. And in the time we were there, Dollar Tree came, Crafter's Coop came. There was a business that used to be next to the nail salon that's no more. Restaurants, there was a barbecue, Patrick Reese's barbecue place came.
And how long did that last?
Right, they all come and go. So I can't say they weren't trying to get businesses in there, because they did get businesses in there.
Why isn't WWGH still there?
Well, because, much like all those other businesses.
And it's the same thing, the same story.
Yeah. Nobody comes to the mall. You can't.
Well,
they got no traffic.
Not only that, but you know full good and well, you had to pay for your own heating, air, all of that stuff that should have been upon the mall, but no, they wouldn't do anything. Some people had, I guess, leaks in the roof. They wouldn't do anything. That's your responsibility, not the mall's. So they're their own worst enemy, but again, the bottom line is they need to show that they're losing money because they use it as a tax write-off.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't
know. Business, you know? They do. Donald Trump could tell you exactly what's going on.
Well, we're about at the top of the hour, but we shall see. Thanks for calling.
Yep.
All right. Well, if you have anything to say, 740-383-9944, 59 minutes past the hour. It's an interesting conversation. I don't really know the answers to these questions. These are more rhetorical questions because maybe you know the answer or maybe you have a guess. We did get a message, though, by the way, here, that there's no power around the mall area or Crescent Heights. That's from one of our listeners, Jeff, who messaged me on Facebook. Jeff, thank you for the message. Again, that there's no power around the mall area or Crescent Heights. That's from Jeff, one of our listeners. Thank you, Jeff. If you're out in that area, I don't know how you're listening, but I'm glad you are. Maybe you got a radio with batteries in it. How about that? Reports on the wind last night. Thoughts on downtown, uptown, the mall, East Marion. It's all interesting conversation. 740-383-9944. We're going to take a 15-minute break. Come back with your phone calls right after this. Stay tuned.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LP, Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place. From legendary talk show host, caster, and comedian Charles